At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
But did anything go through your head at that moment? Was that you saying, right?
That was me saying it's the first time he touched the ball in the final, and thank God I did something half decent with it.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
It's 8:40 this morning. I'm delighted to say Vinnie Perth is with us to reflect on an Ireland 3-0 win. Vinnie, I don't even know how to frame this conversation. We've never had one before where Ireland have won 3-0 away from home in a competitive game. So how do we talk about this? It's like I don't know. We're not picking. We're obviously going to pick some holes in the performance, but I'm kind of speechless at this stage.
Yeah, listen. After Owen's rant there, it's good to hear another sport being given out about this morning, other than football and soccer in this country. It's great to hear that. That's great news for a football person.
Come here. What did you make of the performance? Notwithstanding the result, because we definitely don't want to fall into the trap that everybody has been making who want Kenny out. It was like, oh, we've had bad results. It's like, okay, let's talk about the performance. How was the performance?
Yeah, I think you've got to be balanced. I think if in a normal world, you win a game 3-0, you move on to the next game. But I think we're judging this current Irish team over a longer period of 16, 17 games for obvious reasons. So I was absolutely delighted with the result. But then it's great that we're actually talking about some, I suppose, what you would see, some tactical errors, but also some tactical stuff that worked, because Ireland got more or less the best players on the pitch, and the manager and the coaching staff got time on the training ground to work on certain bits and pieces. So it was a mixed bag, to be honest with you. It's funny, we've dominated a lot of possession in a lot of games. I think we played better in games and not won than we played the other night. But football is a sport at the highest level is about fine margins, and a couple of things went away in the game. Obviously, Robinson's first goal was really a great goal, brilliant bit of skill from him. The second one is a goalkeeping error. And then from there on, things went away. The penalty issue could have went either way, to be honest. Mizuno done brilliant again, but he also palmed one onto the crossbar when he should have palmed it away. And I think if it had went 2-1 with 20 minutes to go, it was a different game. And ultimately, we've won a comfortable winner. So it's what you want to be in talking about after a game, you know, little things that happened in the game, little fine moments, as opposed to the other noise that surrounded this team for the last 16 or 17 games.
The performance after we scored in particular, there's a massive drop-off from the first 10 minutes after the goal to the next 15 minutes after that. What's your explanation for that?
There's a couple of things. First of all, and it's very hard for anyone to explain. No one has ever explained it to me, but there's that mindset of, I think if you're in a comfortable position, you're winning lots of games, you score the first goal and you feel you're going to get the second. There's obviously a little bit of, it's too easy to use the word lack of confidence in the group, but there is, you know, that feel we need to get that win under our belt. So that's human nature. That comes with it. There's no explanation for that. It's like teams dominate somebody for 90 minutes, score a 90-minute goal, and then the opposition have pressure for the last 5 or 6 minutes. There's no explanation for that. It's football, it's sport, it's the mindset, psychology of it all. And then the other side of it is, Azerbaijan dominated possession to a point. I mean, statistically, they over 60% of the ball against Ireland, and they quite a lot of shots on goal. And I think, and again, it's great for me to have this debate in terms of, instead of Stephen's position this week, and maybe talk about the setup of the Ireland team. And I think we're quite open in midfield, and there was huge spaces there, and that lends itself to opposition dominating the ball against you at times if they're clever on it. So We were a little bit open in midfield with those two of Cullen and Hendrick. Left us vulnerable for an opposition to keep the ball.
How do you fix that?
That was the part of the problem for me.
How would you fix that?
Well, it's difficult to fix it with your current shape. So the current shape is a 3-4-3, 3-4-2-1, whatever the different systems are. So there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Chelsea and different bits and pieces, and we've taken a bit of style from there. For me personally, I don't think that sort of 3-4-3 or 3 whatever that system is ideal, because it allows you to get dominated either in wide areas or centrally. The difference with Chelsea is, look at their two holding midfielders at the three of them, Jorginho, Kante, and Kovacic, or their two number 10s being Mount and Havertz. So I think a top team would have caused us problems tonight in that central area. So that's where I would be concerned about the shape. I understand why we've gone to it, in terms of when you look at, say, someone like Shane Duffy was out of the form. I think now he's playing well enough that you could have a back four and get. I think we've spoken on the show about the lack of a number 10 for Ireland. I think that's part of the problem why Stephen felt he had to change the shape. But we're too open in midfield against top sides. So that would be a concern of mine. You can see why Jamie McGrath came in the second half instead of Daryl Horgan, because Jamie is that. Daryl is an out-and-out winger for me, where Jamie can play in that sort of number 10, or we call it narrow off the right position, where he gives us a little bit. He's got good feet, he can keep the ball, and that helped us at times in the second half.
Is there a sense where you're balancing the absence of that third midfielder with what that extra attacker actually gives you, Vinny? Are you looking at that front three and saying to yourself late on in the game in particular, saying, well, we wouldn't be able to create that many chances if we didn't have the three up front, and against a team like Azerbaijan, you just have to balance that with not having one of them in midfield because potentially you wouldn't need them against a team like Azerbaijan?
Yeah, exactly. So that you would say that they lacked a little bit of quality to hurt us at times. I thought Azerbaijan on the night were poor. I think they're better than they played. So, yeah, it's that balancing act. And again, you've seen it with, you see it with City. You see all of a sudden Cancelo turns up and plays in midfield when they have the ball. Every coach in the world is worried about the centre of midfield being a real danger zone for them. So it is trying to come up with those different combinations. Ireland started with Daryl Horgan sort of wide on the left and Callum Robson on the right, who had a bit of freedom. Again, there's different ways of playing that. If you go again to use Chelsea, because it seems to be brought up all the time, there's times they play Lukaku with two number 10s behind him, and then there's other times they play, in the last game they played Timo Werner up front with Lukaku and only one number 10 because they felt he could dominate. So it's all these different combinations. It's the way the modern game has gone in terms of this is different systems. But I would be concerned about that system against better sides at times, because you can be dominated in midfield, albeit, you know, it probably has suited our better players, and I can see why they've gone to that system. So it's about a personal choice. I think you're vulnerable. I think you're vulnerable in that system in different areas.
You've spoken to us on the show quite a bit in the past, Vinny, about the importance of that number 10 that you talk about there in the Chelsea system. So is that as important when it comes to the number 10, the defensive capabilities of that player, the ability to track back, as it is to unlock the defence? And is that 3-4-1-2 essentially going to be the system that Stephen Kenny needs to find?
That's the point about it. It doesn't have to be a number 10. It can be effectively two number 10. So if you look at the portrait of the game, and what Jamie McGrath did in terms of that game, and Aaron Connolly in the first half was the extra striker when he needed. They were sort of two, and he tried to do that same system the other day. I think the difficulty is so many teams have these issues. We've discussed Man United and the problem with Pogba, and then you watch Pogba last night for France, able to play as a number 8. I think you talk about we're trying to be like Chelsea at times, but they've got probably the best number 6 in the world. So all of these little things have a knock-on effect to the situation. I think when I look at this system and I say we're playing Qatar, I think Stephen will stick with this system. But against Qatar at home, for me, and I think he's always had that belief, and whatever way has changed, we don't discuss this too much, to be honest with you. He's obviously changed his opinion. I would be thinking, play 4-3-3 against Qatar and really attack them, get your fullbacks on, get your wingers on, and really dominate the side, because we're better than Qatar, so we have to be really attack-minded. I would hope he would do that. I don't think he will. If it was my job to sit beside him, again, that's what I would be saying to him, but I don't think he will. So I think we've got shortfalls in a couple of areas, and they're masking over a couple of problems. And one is definitely, you know, that real strong number 10. And sort of to, maybe a long-winded way of answering your question there, Owen, but to sum it up, when Stephen coached Dundalk, our number 10 ran more than any other player on the pitch, because, yeah, he was also the most creative, someone like Patrick McElhenney or Robbie Benson or Richie Tell, because that was the style we wanted. We wanted our fullbacks going here, there and everywhere, but we also wanted a press from the front, something we've seen Stephen doing in his international setup as well. So it's a huge role that we haven't filled or don't look like filling anytime soon.
That midfield constellation then, it comes down to a lack of quality at times, but three of the players that we mentioned this morning were Gavin Kilkenny, Jason Malumbi, and of course Jason Knight. Do you see any of that three making a real breakthrough and being a significant part of Kenny's midfield over the next few months?
Yeah, if I can answer that a slightly different way, we don't know, and that's the problem. Like, I looked last week and I read an article about Aaron Connolly, and I was so disappointed in it because he's 21 years of age and he could be playing for under-21s. You know, we don't know. The three of them are finding their feet. Jason Knight, Malumbi, we thought was ready to jump on and into the next stage, and hasn't worked out. It's so, so difficult at the highest level of football to break through in what is now the best league in the world. And that's where these guys are operating. So it's really, really... Connor Coventry, for argument's sake, could jump the whole lot of them. He has been outstanding for the under-21s. And we've got about four or five players in the mix here that could go to the next level. And if we get two or three of them, we're in really strong position, central midfield. So the answer is we don't know. We've had so many sort of false dawns. What we shouldn't be doing is writing these kids off like Aaron Connolly. That's really disappointed me, the commentary around him. And I'd love to see him play on Tuesday, a bit like Callum Robinson, score a couple of goals and shut people up. So I think we've got to be patient with this team and let it develop, because so many of the players have a hell of a job just getting into their first-team squads, never mind playing regular first-team football.
The game against Qatar, right, it's a friendly, so we shouldn't lose sight of that. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of a crowd show up for it. Hopefully it'll be a big crowd. There's been some innovative ticketing pricing, so you hope that people will bring their kids because it's an opportunity to do that. If you're in the managerial brains trust for this game, do you pick very close to the team that finished maybe the other night, or do you give everybody who's in the squad a sniff of action and say, right, look, this is what it's going to be like? You know, you're going to have to play the same way we played, roughly, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to win a place. What do you do to try and keep everybody happy?
I think if the form of the team was much better over those last 16 games, I think you get a chance to give people some game time. I think it's slightly different now. I think the win is important. I think it's important for the team and the staff going forward. So I think you've got to strike a balance with that. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I used Aaron Connolly as the example. Imagine Aaron Connolly scores two goals on Tuesday night. That, we're talking about that as brilliant management. We're talking about that as man management of the player. And for him, it is great for him. So I'd love to see him get an opportunity. I don't think we should dismiss people like that so easily. So it's finding that balance. And you can tell, like, going back, to answer your question, going back, you can tell he's had a week on the training ground. If you look at Shane Duffy's header that just went wide, it was from a throw-in, And it's something I found really interesting. They send Shane Duffy up for a couple of throw-ins. They go short and then put the ball in the box and Shane Duffy is there. And you only get that with a bit of time on the training ground. So he's had some time on the training ground with the players this week. So he may want to work on bits and pieces. So therefore, I think you'll get a balance. You might get five or six players with four or five coming in to freshen up the side. So I think you'll get a balance. I think he'll want to win at home. I think the crowd have been so behind the team, despite all the noise of other people. I think the crowd have been behind the team in the stadium. So Stephen will want to win that game, and I think it's important that he do as well. So I think he'll get it balanced on it, and it won't be seen as a friendly in that sense.
It's going to be interesting to see. I think the critics, certainly the former players, their complaints seem to centre around results and, you know, different parts of it. There's less of the politics in their viewpoints. It's more we want the team to qualify. That's our demands. That was what we played, what was expected of us. We took the crowd given out to us when we didn't get results, and so that's what you're supposed to do. It's kind of a, I don't know, is it a belief in standards? They don't have the baggage or the connections with the setup that you're seeing from some other places. What's your take on it, and how forgiving or how important those voices will be in bringing people along as it seems like their views soften as the team starts to get results?
Yeah, I heard you discussing Richard Dunn earlier on, and I was with him yesterday. We had a game of golf that I just put on record that he cheated at, but he won by a point, and it was like something from the Olympics in terms of the scoring. But look, we had a good debate about this, and like when Stephen was first linked to the job back in the day, Richard done an article saying he should be given a chance. So these guys want the team to win. And once the team wins, they can debate then, like I have, about, you know, shapes and systems and that. And I go back to, say, Paul McGrath's comments about Ireland. Like, people think Ireland need to play a certain way. The same night Paul made his comments, and I hear Paul and Richard, and I see exactly where they're coming from. They want the team to win. They want this style of play. But world football is changing. And at the same day Paul made them comments, I was down watching St. Pat's against Stoyer in a UEFA youth game. Pat's played exactly how a European team would play. Pat's under 19s. He played out from the back. So the kids passed from through the goalkeeper, it was possession based, etc., etc. And that's how our players are being coached now and how they're being coached at the club. They're not being coached kick it long, rush, press, throw long balls into the box, etc., etc. So I think we've got to find that balance between the guys like the two legends of Richard and Paul wanting the team to win, and us developing a style and fixing Irish football and not bringing in an English style manager into our setup who doesn't know anything about Irish football. Because ultimately, whether people like it or not, and your social media guys will probably pick out a line I said and make a bit of an article of it, and people will say, who's Vinnie Perch? He's only a League of Ireland person, etc., etc. But look at the Irish team the other night. Jamie McGrath came through the League of Ireland system. Daryl Horgan came through the League of Ireland system. Albania came through the League of Ireland system. Bazunu came through the League of Ireland system. And there's others that I'll forget. So we need linked up and joined up thinking. That doesn't mean the manager can lose every game along the way. But we need people that are ingrained in Irish football to help improve and develop a style of play, a system, and a way to go. And ultimately, at the moment, I think Stephen is the right man for that. But he's got to keep winning games. But we've got to find a balance around the commentary and the reality of Irish football and where we found ourselves because of, you know, we all know the history of the FAI in the last 15 years. We're in a difficult position. So we've got to, these guys need to be balanced in their view. And I think they are. I think of her after, you know, watching Richard shank a few balls into the rough yesterday, we had a discussion while he was looking for his ball, and he half agreed with me on some things and I agree with him on other things. And I think there is a balance to be found, and I think it gets easier when you win matches, to be fair to these people. Win matches and then you can shut up a lot of the noise.
And did he magically find his ball after you won that argument, Vinny?
Yes, and that was that's where myself and Michael Conlon would be looking at scorecards with the same annoyance after yesterday's performance. Yeah,
Vinny, like that point you make about the League of Ireland is a really interesting one, because I sometimes think that the analysis of the debate has focused on people who are League of Ireland people and people who aren't League of Ireland people, and I think that completely misses the point about the psyche of the Irish football fan. That even people who aren't League of Ireland fans, people who don't go to games, who don't watch the league, kind of want to support the League of Ireland, kind of want to see it do well. I think it takes a strange sort of person to not want it to do well. So I genuinely believe what you're saying there about people coming through the league. I think everybody who's an Irish supporter wants to see that happen, regardless of whether or not they're a season ticket holder for a League of Ireland club.
Yeah, and I think that's the wrong narrative. I think League of Ireland people don't help it as well, because we sort of, you know, complain about people getting on the airplanes on a Saturday morning to go and watch English football. I have no issue with that. That's fine. I don't care if kids want to go over and watch Liverpool. I just hope they'd watch Dundalk, Pats, Rovers on a Friday night. But we need both. We need both. We need our players playing in England. We can't get away from that. We need some of our best young players playing in England, because that's where they get the best opportunity to develop. There's no doubt if a young kid is playing at Man City, Man United, in terms of their coach and their setup, it's better than what we can offer in League of Ireland football. But we also need the late developers, the McGraths, the Horgans, all of these guys to come through the system as well. And under 23 football, I've watched a lot of it this year in England, the standard is quite laid back. It's different, let's just put it that way, where we have people who may have played 100, 150 first-team games at 22, 23, and they're ahead of their English counterparts at times when it comes to if you were scouting one of them players for a championship club. So we have different advantages over the English system that we have to maximise and use to our strength. And I think there just needs to be more joined-up thinking, and we need to stop. This is the problem. You're either on the English side or English Premier League debate side or League of Ireland, where there's a happy medium in the middle where we can all work together. And that's going back to a manager, where do we bring in, you know, Sam Allardyce or whatever these names that get thrown about. Eddie Howe, brilliant coach, amazing coach. But we've got, would Eddie Howe be able to just focus on the first team and forget all the other stuff? Because you can't. Now, Stephen has to also not worry too much about what's happening under 12s or 13s League of Ireland, but he has to be a presence there that gives people a boost when he turns up at these underage games or when he turns up at League of Ireland games on a Friday, and then he gets on a plane on a Saturday morning and watches his own players. And I think we've got to see that's leadership, that's setting standards, that's giving a vision for people. And I think we've got to do that, and that joined up thinking will help. And again, I keep saying that doesn't mean Stephen can afford to lose games all the time. He's got to win them on that journey as well. But I think the rewards of doing it that way will be huge. They'll be huge. And we just need that joined up thinking. And if it continues that way, because we can't rely on our players going to England anymore at 15, 16 and relying on English clubs to develop them for us. It's just not happening.
No, for sure. Vinny, great stuff this morning. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Thank you, man.
It's Vinny Perth there giving us his thoughts on the weekend, and a few more 3-0 wins would be a good balm for Stephen Kenny, and it would certainly help to move the story on to what actually needs to happen in Irish football, as opposed to Kenny in, Kenny out, Kenny in, Kenny out, which is the reductionist point we're at the moment in the cycle.
It's interesting that, like, even just getting a little bit of an insight to Richard Dunn there, and the same goes for Paul McGrath. Like, I think you're right in what you've said to Vinny there. Like, these lads just have a high standard of winning football games, and their view seems a lot more malleable than some of the really ingrained views that we're seeing here. And it's kind of, maybe I didn't expect that, and it's kind of great to see that that's open to being moved by what they see on the pitch. And that's great, and like the debate is welcomed, and it's been an interesting and difficult time for Irish football over the last year for sure. But I think those voices are definitely more open to the idea of Stephen Kenny than maybe some people think.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.